This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. I want to begin today's show by apologizing, actually, for my voice. I'm a little bit sick, but inshallah, we'll get through the show. And we are talking today about a question that a lot of people ask. We go through life, and, you know, whether we're trying, we're striving to be better Muslims, we're striving in our deen, we're striving in our relationships. We're usually spend a lot of our time struggling. We're trying to do something, and, you know, we fall, we fail, we get back up and we keep going. And there's something I want to talk about today, which is this concept. What I titled it was the secret to making life's path easy. And it's really, subhanAllah, something which we overlook, which is actually very sort of ingrained within us already, but we overlook it. And that is this. I think a lot of times when we take the path, for example, we are trying to be better people. We're trying to build on our character. We're trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we end up getting on this path, and we're struggling forward. But then what happens is a lot of times we end up falling off. We end up getting weak. We end up making mistakes. And this is, of course, natural. We are human beings, and this is going to happen. But what happens usually is we end up getting tired. And I think what happens, you know, is that we get worn out, or we get tired, and sometimes we end up giving up. And I think the reason why this happens is because we are fighting so many battles. We are fighting so many internal battles, so many external battles. I mean, subhanAllah, we have so much thrown at us. We have the battle with, the media coming at us. We have the battle of our relationships. We have the inner battles of our nafs. We have the outer battles of the shaitan. We have the battles of, bad influences, Everything is kind of like we're constantly battling, and we're always on guard. And I think, subhanAllah, it really makes us tired. And if you think about having to fight 50, 100, 1,000 battles every single day, you eventually get worn out. And so what I want to suggest today is to actually consolidate all those battles into just one battle. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I'm going to give actually an analogy to try to explain. If you have an enemy coming at you, okay, and this is any type of enemy, and it can be in different forms. You have an enemy coming at you. You can go about going against that enemy in one of two ways. You can either gather up your own resources and go at that enemy, and it's just you and the enemy. And if you do that, you may win sometimes, you may lose sometimes, but you're going to get very tired. You're going to get worn out. And imagine if that enemy is coming at you every single day, and it's always you against the enemy, you against the enemy. Eventually, what's going to happen is you're going to get tired. Eventually, what's going to happen is, sometimes you're actually going to just get wiped out. You're just going to get defeated. And even if you win, sometimes you'll lose the next day. And so that's one option. And I think this is the way that we usually go about our struggles, is we go at it. There's an enemy coming at us. We go at it, with our own resources. There's a second way to handle this enemy, or this army, basically, that's coming at you. And that is to appeal to a superpower. So, if you want, suppose you're not a very strong nation, right? And you have this other nation coming at you. The smart thing to do would be to seek refuge or appeal to the superpower, and the superpower then takes care of the enemy. And why am I giving this analogy? Because I think what ends up happening is we try to go at all these different battles by ourselves. Instead of appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of just making our battle one battle, and that is the battle to focus the heart completely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To focus the efforts, to focus the face, to focus to focus our striving and our love and our fear and everything towards Him. And then when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of all those other battles. And subhanAllah, this is a very deep concept, because really, ultimately, it's tawheed. It's that concept at a very deep level of La ilaha illallah. You know, a lot of times we learn about Tawheed. What is Tawheed? Tawheed, you know, we say it's monotheism, right? We say there's no God but Allah, right? This is how we translate these concepts. But this concept of Tawheed is so much deeper than just saying that. So if you can focus your effort on seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, or rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of all the other affairs, you then don't get to that point where you're worn out, right? You just want to stop because you're so tired of fighting all these different battles, because your only focus should be to constantly bring the heart back, to constantly reorient the heart on one purpose. Just one focus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you keep bringing it back to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of your matters. And there's such a beautiful hadith to this effect where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the one who makes this dunya his primary concern. So this is a person who the focus is on this life. The focus is on all these battles that we're fighting. That what happens in that case is a few things happen as a consequence of making this dunya your focus and your primary concern. One is that poverty is put between your eyes. Poverty is put between the eyes. And when you think about the depth of this statement, what does it mean to have poverty between your eyes? Well, what it means is that you will always feel like you don't have enough. You will always feel like you need more. This constant dissatisfaction with whatever you have. You could have all the money in the world. You could have all the power in the world, but you still feel like it's not enough. You feel poverty no matter what. And the other consequence that we're told in this hadith of making this life, these worldly battles, our primary concern and our focus, is that actually the worldly affair itself becomes scattered. The hadith says, "Farraq Allahu amra," that his matters become scattered. So this is actually it's counterintuitive in a sense, because we think that the more we focus on our jobs, the more we focus on our relationships themselves, the more we focus on making money, the more we focus on school, the more we focus on these things in dunya, the more successful we'll be. We think that the more we focus on them, the better they will be, the more we'll achieve. And it's actually the opposite. SubhanAllah, the more you focus on it, the more it breaks. The more you run after it, the more it runs away. And that's the characteristic of dunya, that the more that you make it your primary focus, the more you're trying to, you're trying so hard to run after it, it actually does the opposite. It actually makes that those matters scattered, and they run, and the dunya, SubhanAllah, runs away from you the more you run after it. And then the opposite happens, and the hadith tells us that the one who makes akhirah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, right? The one who makes akhirah his primary concern, two things are the opposite, two things happen. One is that contentment is put in that person's heart. So see how this is opposite to the poverty, right? The feeling of always not having enough. And you can see that, you know, that this, I mean, we live in that society, right? It's a society that is focused on materialism, a society that's running, always running after having more of dunya, more status, more beauty, more wealth, more, you know, just more, more, more. It's this running after it. And you find that you're never satisfied. It's like you always have to upgrade. You always have, you know, if you have the latest model, well, soon you're not going to be happy with it. You want the newer model, and you're always trading in for the newer model. And that's the idea of this running after the dunya. Whereas the opposite happens, where contentment is put in the heart. And that's one of the consequences of actually making akhirah your focus, your primary concern. And the second thing that the Prophet ﷺ says is jama Allahu amra. So look at, you know how we just talked about how the matters become scattered when you focus on them, when that's what you're running after. And it's the opposite. When you make your focus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make your battle, you know, having to do with pleasing Him and focusing on Him and focusing on akhirah, that actually your matters themselves become joined, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of your matters. Meaning that when you focus on akhirah, you have both dunya and akhirah. When you focus on the hereafter, you have this world and the next. And you know what we say, and this is the dua of a believer, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That, oh Allah, give us, grant us good in this life and in the next life, and protect us from the punishment of the hellfire. So this is the reward for a believer, because the believer, this is actually the consequence of making akhirah the primary concern, is you get dunya as well. And ironically, the one who makes this life all it's about, that all the focus, their entire universe revolves around, what am I doing here? What do I have here? What do I want? What do I still not have? That person actually doesn't ever get the dunya itself. That the dunya itself becomes scattered, and you never, even if you have all of dunya, you still don't feel contentment. So you don't actually have dunya. You know, that's the irony of it. So the message is this concept of focus, that when you set your focus right, everything falls into place. This doesn't mean, and you know, some people will then say, well, okay, does that mean that I don't do anything for dunya? I'm not going to go to work anymore. I'm not going to study. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to have relationships. No, that's not what it means. This is talking about focus of heart. This is talking about primary concern. This is talking about goals. This is talking about ultimate purpose, basically. That when I'm acting and I'm working, or I'm working on my career, or I'm doing my education, or I'm getting married, or I'm having children, and we're doing all of these things, and they're part of dunya, which we are involved in and we need to be involved in, because that's the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ never told us to leave all these things, but rather it's his sunnah to get married and to break our fast and to pray and to sleep and all these things, and being part of this life is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is talking about a focus of the heart, that while I'm involved in all of these things, that my heart is facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my eyes are looking at akhirah, and that's why I'm doing everything that I'm doing. So inshallah, I will take a short break, and go ahead and, you know, write your questions, comments in the chat box, and we'll return shortly. Assalamu alaikum, this is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are speaking today about how to get through life without it being such a struggle. What is the secret to basically making this path, life's path, easy? And what I'm proposing in this talk is that we get tired on the path because we have so many different battles that we're fighting every single day. And what I'm proposing is that we consolidate all of those battles into just one. And there's such a profound hadith where the Prophet ﷺ talks about hemma, that when the person has just one hemma, this one concern, this one striving, basically this one thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of all the other matters and everything else. Again, that same concept of it being joined and taken care of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice you with everything else that you're doing and make everything else easy. And again, I want to clarify, it doesn't mean that making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter your one primary concern, doesn't mean you become monks. It doesn't mean you go and live in the mountains and, you know, you don't get married and you don't, you know, do anything of the dunya. That's not what it means. This is an internal state. This means that you're still involved in everything that you're doing, that as long as it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're still getting married, you're still having children, you're still going to school, you're still working. But in everything that you're doing, your heart is facing Him. Your heart does not face the money, your heart does not face the status, your heart does not face the career or the degree or all of these things, that that's not actually what you're running after. Although you're doing it, you realize that those things are just means, those things are just tools, and that your ultimate hem, your ultimate concern, your ultimate focus and striving is just one. It's not so many anymore. It's not so many different battles, but rather just one. And that constant bringing the heart back. And this is something, you know, we also have to realize, it's never going to be consistent and constant in the sense that that it doesn't shift. We go through this life and we are bombarded by distraction after distraction after distraction. So the real battle, and that's why I call it a battle, is that it, your heart, once you focus it on Allah, say for a split second, you have your full focus, if that's even possible, your full focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the focus of the heart is on Allah. You know what? It doesn't just stay there. It, you know, something will happen. You know, somebody will come into your life, or there'll be some problem, or things get thrown at you. And then all of a sudden your heart shifts, right? Your heart shifts and looks at that thing. It's kind of like if you imagine a person just looking forward and they keep hearing sounds, and every time they hear a sound, their face moves towards the sound. That's kind of what happens with our heart, is that our heart, it shifts and it moves towards these different things that we then start to chase after, and we get distracted. So the battle here, the struggle here, is about bringing it back, constantly bringing it back. It's not going to stay there. You have to constantly be bringing it back. And so every time, what does this mean? You know, and I'll give you some examples, but practically, what does that mean? It means that whenever I'm doing something, you know, I'm a student, or I'm a wife, or I'm a husband, or I'm a, you know, whatever it is that you're doing in your life, that you're always bringing it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're always bringing it back to, what does this mean for my relationship with Him? And it also means that whenever something happens in your life, you're going to be hit by a lot of things in life. You're going to be hit by a lot of blessings. You're going to be hit by a lot of tests. And in fact, the blessings themselves are also tests. Everything is. So whenever those things happen, we have to also look at them in the very same way. What does this have to do with my relationship with Him? You ask this question about everything. Everything you have, everything you don't have. Everything you've done, everything you haven't done, everything you've lost, everything you've gained. Every single thing in life is intended to bring you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have to see it that way. So even if it means that you're really sad right now, or you know, if something happens that made you really sad, or you lost something very important, or something didn't work out the way you wanted, you need to be able to look at that in with the same lens, this focus of the heart. What does this have to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my relationship with Him? Because that's all it's about. Everything in this life is all a creation. Everything in this life is all a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single thing in this life, including your life experiences. And this is really deep. You think about it. You know, even the scenarios that happen in your life, even your sadness, even your joy, all of it is created. But you have to ask why. You have to ask, why did these things happen? In the sense of, not as a complaint, but as a way to point you, to take you to where you're supposed to be. Because all of these things are signs. And what's the purpose of a sign? The purpose of a sign is to direct you towards a certain direction, to redirect you, oftentimes. So we have to see everything in our life as a sign. Everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this scenario in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this loss, or created this gain, or created this test, or created this emotion for one purpose, to bring you back to Him. So you have to use it in that way. But the only way that's going to happen is if you're able to look at everything in your life with that type of lens. Now, I'm going to, inshallah, like, I just want to give some practical examples of what I mean by having this one focus, and how that affects practically your ability to easily be successful in this life. One example is the example of forgiveness. One of the things that we often struggle with in life is that when we feel that we've been wronged, it's very difficult to forgive. And one of the reasons why it becomes very difficult to forgive is because the focus of our heart is wrong. What happens is that when we get hurt by something, so remember we said that the heart is focused, even if it's focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then there's a sound and, you know, it moves towards there. So in this case, somebody comes and hurts me. Okay, so what happens is the heart now that was focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps now shifts and focuses on that person or the wrong that happened or the pain that it caused or the sadness that it caused. And now the heart is focused on that instead of Allah. As a result, you can't let it go. It becomes this, it becomes a form of an attachment and you can't let it go. And the idea is, you know, so that's why you can't forgive. But if you reoriented the heart and you brought it back to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, all of a sudden it will become much easier to forgive. And I'll tell you why. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I think illustrates this point so beautifully. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that on the day of judgment, there will be two people standing in front of Allah. And they're both, you know, brothers in Islam, right? And one of them has wronged the other person. So the one who's been wronged says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know on the day of judgment, all justice will be served, right? So the one who's been wronged says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want my right from this guy, right? This person who hurt me. I want it down to the, you know, down to the drop. And he's refusing basically to forgive, right? He wants his right. And this is his right, to take his right. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is he shows him something in Jannah. He shows him this amazing like vision of Jannah. And that person says, well, like he's wondering, what, you know, who is this for? Like he's thinking, you know, some prophet or someone amazing, like who's that Jannah for? And he's told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Jannah, that what he saw in Jannah will be for him if he forgives his brother. And so at that point, all of a sudden, as you can imagine, that person readily forgives. So now all of a sudden he's cool, right? He's like, nope, no problem, I'll forgive, because he wants that Jannah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet says that the two of them end up going to that, you know, going together, holding hands and going together to that Jannah. Subhanallah. But what can we learn from this story? The idea is that he, so long as he didn't see that Jannah, right? He wasn't looking at it. That wasn't his focus. His focus was the wrong that this person did, and he wants his right. But as soon as he was able to see Jannah, right? He was able to have that focus. It became easy for him to forgive. It wasn't like a struggle anymore. And this is exactly the case with us in this life as well. That if we can see our place in Jannah for forgiving, it doesn't even become a struggle anymore, because now we are focused on the right thing. Our vision is on the hereafter. It's no longer looking at this small thing that this person did, because that small thing is nothing compared to what you have as a result of forgiving. And you know, subhanAllah, you know, this is the way that the companions saw it, right? If you take the example of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and you look at radiallahu anh, when you look at the story of what happened with his daughter Aisha, that when she was accused, and this is something that, you know, no one, this is like one of the most horrible things that could happen, that someone can accuse a woman of. His daughter was accused of committing adultery, and it was this rumor that had been spread, and he found out that one of the people who had started the rumor was a relative of his. And not only was it was he a relative, he was a relative that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to support financially. So you can imagine how he would feel when he found that out. And so naturally what he did was he just withheld the financial support once he found that out. And subhanAllah, an ayah was revealed at that time that said that basically that told, you know, it was revealed in relation to this, that if you forgive, and it's saying, do you not want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you? That yes, it was his right to withhold that, right? He didn't do anything haram. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting something higher, because this is the higher thing. Is that do you not want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive you? Imagine that, you know, and so, you know, we have so much that we need Allah to forgive. Here Allah is saying, if you can forgive this person, You know, do you not want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive you? This is the question that's being posed by Allah. And at that, at hearing that, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he reinstituted the financial support and in fact started to give him more. Just reflect on this. What is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, what is he looking at here? Is he looking at the wrong that this person did? Is he looking at getting his right from this person? He's not. He is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's looking at his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying, yes, like, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. So of course I'm gonna forgive this person. And this is the mindset that we have. And if we have this mindset, in fact, it becomes very easy to forgive. It doesn't become this, like, you know, sometimes it's this struggle, like we're pulling, you know, like pulling teeth, right? But it's no longer like that. It becomes easy as it was for that man who saw his place in Jannah. And this is what we're talking about, that when you see that, you know, when you have the correct focus and you're looking beyond this life to the next, dealing with these things no longer is a struggle. It's no longer a battle. But rather it becomes easy. So I'm going to take another short break, and I want you, inshallah, to go ahead, write your comments, write your questions in the chat box. Assalamu alaikum, this is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. I'm looking at the questions on the chat box. I'm going to take a couple, inshallah, and sort of try to address them. One person asks Salam sister, my parents are intent on me finishing university and becoming a lawyer. I was into this dream, but I have changed, and I now want to devote my life to God and studying Islam. Is the goal of my parents and the goals I have of being a better Muslim incompatible? The breast got cut off. So this is a pretty typical question. Actually, a lot of people get into this situation where maybe they want to do something, perhaps, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their parents want them to do something different. I would say, you know, each case is different, but one universal advice that I can give anytime you're in a situation, like this, is praying istikhara and making a lot of dua. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to what is best and what is most pleasing to Him. Because it may be, and each situation is different, it may be to take one certain path, it may be to take another. And sometimes what we think is best for us is not best for us, and sometimes what we think is not best for us is. So it's very important to just put our full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to get attached to one outcome or another, but rather just to ask Allah to really guide our steps, to guide our heart, to guide us to what is best and what is most pleasing to Him. And, you know, that's the absolute best advice that we can use in that kind of situation. And it comes in different forms, of course, you know, whether it's marriage, you want to marry someone, and so many different times we get into a point in our life where we have to make a decision and we're pulled in different directions. And subhanAllah, it is exactly what we're talking about today. Focusing the heart, tawheed. That you focus, you say, okay, yes, there's this pulling me in this direction. There's this pulling me in this direction. My mind thinks this. My parents think this. My friends think this. And you're scattered, right? And so what you need to do is just collect the heart and focus it on Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a lot of dua, really sincerely, with truthfulness, with sidq, turn to Allah, pray istikhara, and ask Allah. And this is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, that when somebody, seeks His, whenever you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you're struggling towards Allah, He says that He will guide you. So this is a promise. If you really are truthful with Allah, He'll guide you and He'll make your matters easy, inshallah. So just, make sure that you're doing that, and inshallah, whatever the outcome is, it will be best for you. Another question people asked, and this was generally more than one person kind of asked a similar type question about how do you deal with it when you're not in the right state of mind? How do you get into the right state of mind? Or how do you, you know, you're being pulled towards sin, or you're not in the correct, how do you basically keep this focus, practically? And I think that, you know, it's important for us to understand the concept, right? And some practical ways, to keep this focus, have to do with really, first and foremost, sticking with the prescription given to us by Allah and His Messenger. If we are not at the very, you know, from the very foundation, salah, right? If we are not praying and we're not praying on time, we know for sure that our heart is not going to be focused on the right thing. I mean, this is just a fact that we have that part of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent mankind to this world, He said, and he promised that that His guidance would come. And this is an if, right? If we follow that guidance, then we will have لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That only in that case, if we follow the guidance, will there be no fear on them, and nor shall they grieve. So the only way that we're going to be able to be successful in this world is if we follow the prescription given by Him and His by Allah and His Messenger. If we don't follow the prescription, I mean, a doctor gives you a prescription, you have a disease, you have a sickness, and the doctor gives you a prescription and you don't follow it, you can't complain that you're sick. You know, you can't then go and say, well, why am I still sick, right? Because you didn't follow the prescription. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have given us a very strict prescription of how to be successful and how to get through this maze of this dunya, right? How to get through this ocean of dunya without drowning. And one of those things, and the first and most important, you know, the foundational things are the five pillars, and starting with the salah. So praying, making sure that your salah is in order, making sure that you're praying all the prayers and you're praying them on time, and that nothing is getting in the way of that. If there is something getting in the way of that, then that's a problem. And that's something that's getting in the way. I don't care if it's school or if it's, you know, a relationship or if whatever it is, that needs to be addressed immediately, because that's your problem right there. That thing that's getting in the way of your salah is where your heart is focused. And that's the wrong place for it to be focused. And you will never be able to be successful that way. So the salah is the practical first way, making sure that it's in order, and then working on the khushu'ah. Khushu'ah is this concept of being focused in your prayer, having humility in the prayer. And that really comes also as a consequence of having this focus on the right stuff outside of your salah. And this is what, you know, really I like want to emphasize, is that when we are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the entire day, right? If we're thinking about Allah, if we're focused on Allah throughout our day, we're going to be focused on Allah in our salah. But on the other hand, if we never think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go through our day and it's all, what am I wearing? What am I doing? Where am I going? What's this person saying? If that's all that's on our mind, that's the same exact stuff that's going to be on our mind when we say Allahu Akbar and start praying. So we have to really address the problem right at its core. What is it that we are most concerned about in our daily lives? That's going to be the same thing that occupies our mind during our salah. So khushu'ah is then, you know, that next step, but we have to really, really focus on the salah. And as a practical way. And then there's other things that you can always add in your daily routine. Of course, there's the fast of Ramadan and those things have to be in order. But just on a daily routine, there's other things you can add, such as the extra prayers, such as Qiyam, praying in the last third of the night before Fajr. That is something which will practically, and this is a very, you know, practical type step that you can make, that's practically going to make a huge difference in your focus, in the focus of your heart, is praying at that time in the last third of the night before Fajr. Also making sure that you're connected to the Quran, that you're reading the Quran, that you're not only reading it in Arabic, but also understanding what it means and connecting to the meaning that's in the Quran, because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this is His word. And so if we want to connect to Him, we need to be able to understand His words. And this is going to bring it back to the concept of the hereafter, because, you know, this is the Quran is a reminder of our ultimate purpose and our and a reminder of the hereafter and of death. So if you're connected to the Quran and it's part of your daily routine, you're going to be focusing the heart in that way. And then you have the adhkar. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us that there's adhkar that you say in the morning, there's adhkar you say in the evening at Maghrib time, there's adhkar before you sleep, there's adhkar when you wake up. So there's always a way to constantly be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of all of these prescriptions is to refocus the heart. And when the heart is focused, and this is what I want to really emphasize, and you can try this and you can understand this experientially, when the heart is focused on the right thing, which is Allah and the hereafter, you'll find that everything else in your life becomes easier to do, becomes everything kind of, it's no longer this weight that you have to, oh, I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and I've got this battle. And subhanAllah, when your heart is focused correctly, everything else really becomes easier. And you find that even in your studying, even in your work, even in your relationships, all of a sudden there will be barakah, there will be blessing in those things. But that only happens when your heart is focused correctly. And that heart is only going to be focused correctly if you follow the prescription given by Allah and His Messenger. So I'm going to take just one more question, and then inshallah we will wrap it up. So one person had asked, how do you, when you're faced with hardship or it's a very painful experience, how do you keep from doing things that are harmful to yourself, or to sort of distract you from the pain? And I would say, I would answer this question, the cure comes in the exact same way of these other examples that I gave. And that is, why is it that people end up hurting themselves, whether it's in cutting or they want to hurt themselves physically because of an emotional pain that they're going through? And basically what psychologists say is it has to do with distracting oneself, that you don't want to feel the emotional pain, and so you distract yourself through physical pain. And by having that physical pain, you're so focused on that that you won't have to feel the emotional pain. And I mean, this same line of thinking, it's this need to distract oneself away from the emotional pain. But that's exactly what I mean. That's the whole concept of when we're talking about focus, that the way that we can heal and the way that we can distract ourselves from this emotional pain, the way that we can, the emotional pain can, basically almost disappear and become negligible, is by focusing on something greater, by focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. And realizing that whatever pain we are going through, emotional or whatever type of pain we are going through in this life, it's all temporary. Every single thing in this life is temporary, whether it's pleasure or it's pain. Nothing lasts in this life. And so really just putting our full hope and our full focus on what is not temporary, what is lasting, that will allow you to heal, that will allow you to look beyond whatever harm or whatever thing you lost and find something better. And I give this example because it's something we can all really relate to, that when you see someone who's had their heart broken, right? They've been, they had a breakup or whatever happened, and they have this saying that you never get over someone until you find someone else, right? You never get over a person until somebody comes to replace them, kind of. And this is, there's some truth to this, right? That we always need to be filling this emptiness in us. That if there's a slot opened up, we need to fill it. Otherwise, we're going to be feeling that emptiness, and that's very painful. And subhanAllah, there is this thing that's better than all of this, right? And that's Allah. If we are able to find something better, find something better than this dunya, find something better than running after money, find something better than running after status, find something better than all of these things, and that is Allah and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes Jannah, He says, خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. It's almost like istajab, like how can you, it's shocking, right? It doesn't make sense. How is it in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that you prefer the life of this dunya, the life of this world, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, and the hereafter is khayrun wa abqa. It's better and it's longer lasting. So the hereafter, the other life, is better in both quality and quantity. It's better in the quality of it. It's actually it's like this perfect life. And it's also better in quantity. No matter how wonderful things are in this life, it doesn't last. So it's both quality and quantity. That life is better, in that it lasts as well. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is addressing this question to us. How is it that we prefer what we can have in this life when that life is better and more lasting? So if we really want to easily get over our heartbreaks, or easily get over our, if we fell in love with dunya, basically, and we want to easily get over it, you can find something better. And that's what will make it easier to get over. When you see, and I've given this example, that when you're a kid and you're obsessed with toy cars, it's like you really, really want this toy Ferrari. You're going to want that toy Ferrari until you grow up and you realize that there's a real Ferrari, and it actually, it's like you can get in and you can drive it. And it's only when you see the real Ferrari that the toy Ferrari becomes nothing to you. You're not going to keep seeking a toy when you have the real thing. You're not going to keep looking. You're not going to be running after a dollhouse when you see a mansion. And that's really what this is about. It's about seeing the mansion. It's about seeing the real car, seeing the real thing. So then all of a sudden the false model basically becomes very easy to get over. أقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.